As said on the other side, I'm going to add to the original tape. Today is Wednesday, 19th of September, 1990. Last April, I visited Melbourne and some of my old stamping grounds round Melbourne, particularly Richmond, Victoria. I think I said on the other side that I was born in Richmond in 1905 and spent the first 23 years of my life in Charles Street, Richmond. My son gave me a cassette made in 1988 or 1989 covering four ABC radio programs on Richmond. The programs were based on a book tracing the history of Richmond from 1900 to 1960. The author was Dr. Janet McCallman of the History Department of the University of Melbourne and a PhD graduate of the ANU. The book is basically a political history, but it is very entertaining, particularly as it includes numbers of personal comments by old Richmond inhabitants, some of whom sound pretty old. It refers to old buildings and the like, and particularly the Richmond football team, and is accompanied by their theme song. There are interesting bits about John Wren, Squizzy Taylor, and the lurks that went on in the Richmond City Council. I can recommend this book to all Melburnians, and particularly to those who have a knowledge of Richmond. Now, to come to the old cinema Richmond Picture Theatre. The book often mentions the Richmond Town Hall. Next to the Town Hall was the police station, and then the Cinema Richmond. They are all still there, and it is easy to locate them from the Town Hall. Next to the police station is a shop, a big shop, projecting right over the footpath, with a large sign called Rebel Camping. A little further along, it identifies itself as Barbecues Galore. Now, the old brick front of Cinema Richmond and its roof are still clearly there in good order behind this pimple that has been put in front of them. When one gets through this pimple, the marble stair to the dress circle is still in position. Going up the stairs is still the barrier or the front of the dress circle. And proceeding through the heaps of merchandise and little storerooms and offices and things like that, one comes to the old proscenium, and there is still a good deal of the screen left. One can almost see the rows of seats and the orchestra pit in front of the proscenium. I set out to find the old projection box, knowing pretty well where it ought to have been, and going through the dark storerooms, which are now at the back of the old dress circle, I found, first of all, the glass-covered projection port. But the inspection ports had gone. Beyond the port, at the back of the projection port, was a dark, neglected room without any electric or other light. But It was exactly against the outside wall, where it ought to have been. It proved to be, without a doubt, the projection room, because having obtained some light, I found the two vents through the roof which serve the projection lamp houses. The back window through which we used to hear the town hall clock had been boarded over, and the pit which used to contain the generator for the DC current had also gone. But clearly this was the old projection box, although it had been knocked about, possibly used as a store in the earlier days, but was now completely derelict, and one wondered whether the floorboards were safe. I was delighted that some of the old history was still there, particularly as, so I understand from one of the occupants of the building, it had been declared by the National Trust. If the building is controlled to some extent by the National Trust, I would suggest that a small amount of money would preserve some of the old features. And from a conversation I had with one of the executives there, I think the company would be willing to cooperate. I doubt if it would put any cash into it. My suggestion would be that the proscenium edge, which has been knocked about, be repaired, and that the screen be given a coat of paint. The projection box might be restored to something like its original appearance, although I would not expect there would be scrap projectors available to be installed. But perhaps the National Film and Archives people might have some old projectors which could be representative of the times. The old ports might be re-established. That concludes my comments on the old building, which is still recognisable as an old-time picture theatre. My memory revived a point or two about the orchestra. In the silent days, there was always a live orchestra in the pit in front of the screen, and Cinema Richmond had what was considered to be a good suburban cinema orchestra. I would guess there was anything from 16 to 20 players, and there was a conductor who, of course, received applause when he came in to start the show. As I may have said, we stopped the call bell at 1 minute to eight on the first stroke of 8 o'clock from the Richmond Town Hall. The lights were dimmed, and the orchestra started playing as soon as we had opened the curtain in front of the screen. I remember we wanted to put a spotlight on the conductor. And of course in those days, very few technical devices, and improvisation was the order of the day. When projecting the big slides on the screen, we used to push the number one projector lamp house across on rails and project the slide through a lens which was mounted at the end of a rod. We thought this could provide a spotlight both for the conductor. And so it could, except that it was too high. So we depressed the rod bearing the lens by tying a brick onto it, which bent it sufficiently. And of course you remember it was a long throw to put a spotlight on the conductor. A high technology was still to come, but we got there. The conductor took the bow. We pushed the lamp house across to be behind the projector, because we always started the show on number one projector. The arc, of course, was burning, and so immediately we moved the lamp house, started the projector, the show was on.